The door to come back to government and get paid for it is opening a little wider, potentially, for federal retirees or current employees getting close to retirement. The House passes an amendment to the fiscal 2015 National Defense Authorization Act so federal agencies can keep rehiring retirees without cutting into those retirees' pensions. Jessica Clements, legislative director of the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association, here to explain the details of this provision and what it means to you if you work for the government now and you're thinking about retirement, or if you're already retired and want to get back in the game. Jesse, it's great to have you on the program as always. What are the details here of what the House passed?
Hi, Francis. Thanks so much for having me. So Congressman Connolly from Virginia introduced an amendment extending the dual compensation waiver, it's the official word for it, for reemployed annuitants for another 5 years. If you can tap into your memory bank, if you recall back in 2009 was when all those very positive federal employee provisions passed as part of the fiscal year 2010 National Defense Authorization Act. That was the extending locality pay to Alaska and Hawaii federal employees, the first sick leave credit, as well as the reemployed annuitants provision. That provision, however, had a 5-year sunset on it, and lo and behold, here we are 5 years later, much to my own surprise.
Uh-huh.
So the ability for federal retirees to come back to federal service without offset to their salary expires in October of this year. Congressman Connolly's amendment, which passed as part of the FY15 NDAA, would extend that for another 5 years.
So the good news is what's in place now will stay in place for another 5 years. Have we seen a lot of this at agencies? Have we seen them taking opportunities to bring back people who either worked there or worked at other agencies and know how this stuff operates and be able to take advantage of that knowledge?
You know, it really depends on who you ask. GAO, as part of the original bill, was asked to study this, and they completed that study in 2012. They didn't look at very many agencies. They, in fact, only looked at one cabinet agency, and those agencies made limited use of it. However, anecdotally, what we're hearing is that agencies are really pushing to get this extended because they are employing this, especially in this age of austerity budgeting, and to tackle certain projects, the backlog of retirement claims at OPM, for instance.
It strikes me that this could almost be, if agencies choose to use it that way, this could almost be a super-powered temporary agency with the program being staffed by the most capable, knowledgeable people available. Because you have these folks who know how the government operates, and they know how to get things done within the context of a federal agency, and they just come in with all the tools that you would want in somebody who's experienced, and they don't need to be a full-time employee, and they don't need to be a permanent employee, because they were already an annuitant, and they're essentially, they can make a pretty decent living doing that.
You're absolutely correct. That was the whole premise behind the push for this in the first place. You know, agencies have specific needs, and sometimes those needs are temporary. And sometimes it's a time-sensitive need, and training new employees or even contractors, if it is like a temporary project, can take months. And by that time, now you're further behind than you were before. Reemployed annuitants provisions really allow the most experienced workers to come back, do the job that they're there to do, and then go back to being retired. And for that reason, to make sure that it was for a specific need and not to, say, be in place of future hires, this very specific circumstances under which people can come back underneath this waiver authority. They can only do so for a certain amount of time. And once you are reemployed and then retired, you can't come back and do it again. Very, very specific rules in the regulations themselves.
Jessica Clement of NARF is my guest. And as you and I have spoken about on many occasions, just because one side does it doesn't mean it actually happens. What is the prognosis in your view for this in the Senate? Because unfortunately, the sad part of this is it sounds like the kind of thing that has the potential to get negotiated out during a conference.
Right. And, you know, looking at the last few years, it's always been in our favor if the House did something, but the Senate didn't take action, and now we're on the opposite side of things. The Senate Armed Services Committee has already passed its version of the FY15 NDAA, which would mean this would have to come in the form of an amendment on the Senate floor when they consider it, or, of course, be kept in the conference committee. I don't say this very often, but I am optimistic.
Wow.
We're going to work towards hopefully an amendment, because if it's in both bills, it certainly has a better chance of making it through the conference committee process. So I'm hopeful. I don't want to count my chickens, of course, but if it's not this bill, if it's not the NDAA, which makes sense because that's the original bill it was in FY, or that passed in 2009, if it's not this bill, we at NARF will be working to make sure it gets extended in some other piece of legislation.
So the likelihood of this happening is at this point, I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being no chance in the world and 10 being absolute metaphysical certitude, where do you put it right now, Jesse?
At a 5.
That's not bad.
I'm pretty hopeful. This is something the agencies want. Congressman Connolly's office didn't get any pushback on this extension. NARF supports it. The federal management groups support it. Agencies support it. This seems to be a really good tool, especially since agencies don't really have the hiring capacities in terms of actual dollars that they've had in years past, and they need this to get the work done.
All right, I'm going to take a flyer, and I'm going to guess that you are less optimistic about the new bill that we have details on federalnewsradio.com from Senator Cardin and Senator Schatz for a 3.3% pay increase.
I am absolutely less optimistic about that.
I'm so sorry. I don't laugh because I don't laugh because I wish that on people. I laugh because, unfortunately, I'm not surprised by your lack of optimism.
Right. And I hate to say to your listeners that I'm not optimistic either. So this is a Senate companion bill to the one that was introduced by Congressman Connolly in the House a few months ago to provide federal employees a 3.3% pay raise in 2015. Appropriations is going to be telling in this regard. The financial services and general government appropriations bill is typically where the pay raise has been contained in the past. Military personnel will be awarded a 1.8% pay raise next year if the House NDAA is any indication. Of course, that still has to make it through the Senate and then and conference. So I think if federal employees were to prepare themselves for any sort of raise next year, I think it would probably either be the, realistically speaking, the 1% pay raise provided in the president's budget, or the 1.8% pay raise that's provided to the military. Before the era of pay freezes, pay parity between the civilian workforce and the military workforce was almost commonplace. I believe only once in 2.5 decades did the military pay raise differ from the civilian. And then, of course, we had pay freezes, and that all changed. So if I was a federal employee planning for next year, I think it's likely they'll get a 1% pay raise, because that's what the president proposed in his budget, possibly a 1.8% pay raise. Of course, we will continue to support and push for the 3.3% pay raise, but that faces a much, much bigger battle on.
And we will continue to count on you to keep us up to date. Jess Clement is a legislative director at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. My conversation with her posted at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon.